Today we're finishing our two-week series, get a sermon series called Prayer Changes Things. Prayer Changes Things. And I wanted to do this series right before we kind of relaunch or do our fall kickoff. We didn't call it a launch because I didn't want people to get confused, but that's what we're doing. Every fall we're relaunching. We're relaunching because we always want to be reaching out. And that's what we're about. So I wanted to do this Prayer Changes Things sermon series because I believe that. I know that prayer changes things. I've seen it in my life. I know that prayer will change the face of this church, the face of this community. And I want us to be a people of prayer. I want you to experience that for your life. I want us as a church to experience that as a church, to see lives be changed. Not necessarily to have all these people coming in. It's not about that. It's about life change. And we get to be a part of something big that God's doing. But God does that if we pray. So that's why I wanted to do that. And, you know, people often tell you when you go to church, hey, just pray about this. When you're going through something, just pray about it. But we don't often tell you why. You know, hey, just go pray. But we don't say like what prayer does and why to do it. And so most messages just tell you to pray or how to pray. And it's like instructions of how to pray. And you're kind of sitting there like, I'm not even like at first step. Because if we're really honest, the first question we really want to know about prayer is, does prayer really change things? Does prayer work? Because we're not sure of that question, if we're not sure of that answer, then our prayer lives will be very stagnant, or quite frankly, we will find something more productive to do, especially if you're a go-do type of person. Sometimes, you know, I have to be honest, even as a pastor, I'm a go-do-it, let's go accomplish it kind of person, and I have to really, really work in my prayer life to just dig deep and get on my knees and say, Lord, I need your help. Because here's the thing. Oftentimes we see prayer as a passive deal, but in reality, because prayer changes things, when we pray, God answers. Prayer is active. It's like it's dynamic. And so for the go-do people, one of the greatest things you can go do is pray, and then go do it, and God will bless that even more. But last week we shared some amazing stories of God answering prayers. I shared a story about, Mandy even missed it, when I shared the story about how we met and just an amazing, powerful story of answered prayer. We shared the story of Joshua's prayer and how it was answered, that the sun would stand still. And somehow for the first time in history, the last time in history, that he prayed that the sun would stand still so that God's people could continue the battle and win the battle, and the sun stopped in its spot. And we talked about praying big, huge prayers, to pray for those things. You know, that you're realizing that there's no mountain that's too large. There's no sun that can't stop if we pray for God to do that. And so we just talked about praying very specific prayers. So many times in our prayer lives, what I've found is that we get in a rut by praying these nonchalant prayers. These nonchalant prayers where we're not really thinking about what we're praying. So we pray something like, God, be with me. And the heart of that is great, but the reality is God inhabits the circumference of the earth and of the universe, and God is in front of us and God is behind us. God is all around us, and if you're a believer, God is inside of you like we talked about. And so to pray, God, be with me, is kind of a funny prayer, isn't it? God is with you. God was with you when you woke up this morning, and God was ahead of you before you arrived at the fountain. God is everywhere. So God, be with me is a funny prayer. And so we just throw these things out sometimes. Or sometimes we pray these very unspecific prayers, very general prayers, where like if God were to answer our prayer, we wouldn't know it because it was such a general prayer. These things that don't require much faith for God to actually answer them. And so I just encouraged you with the book of Joshua to stop praying small faith prayers, to pray big prayers, to trust God to do big things in your life, things that you would never imagine, that God wants to do things in your life and to move mountains of things that maybe you're going through. And so today we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about praying to impact others. We're going to be going through 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You can go ahead and turn there in your Bible, and I'm just going to give you a quick word on 1 Chronicles 4 just to kind of set some background. So this is chapter 4, but chapters 1 through 9 is all genealogy. It's like if you were to read this and just sit down and read this and like, all right, I'm gonna try to read the Bible. When you turn to 1 Chronicles, you might get really, really bored. And it's good stuff, but it's all genealogy. It's like reading your family history, your family tree. And it's like this person gave birth to this person. This is the son of this person. And that's all you're reading. But for two verses, the author of 1 Chronicles pauses to speak about this man named Jabez. And Jabez is only listed three times in the entire Bible. But what they say about Jabez and the prayer of Jabez is something that will shake the foundations of your impact on others and how God wants to use you to influence others for the kingdom. So that's what we're looking at this morning. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, reading verses 9 through 10. If you don't have a Bible or don't own a Bible, we have free Bibles out on the coffee table. Pick one up when you leave. Write your name in it. Let that be our gift to you. You're not stealing from church. We just want you to read the Bible because we know that you'll be changed by it. Let's stand this morning in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. It says this, Jabez, these are like the two of the three verses, by the way, in all the Bible. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. So Jabez's prayer, as far as influencing people and letting God do something in him to make an impact in this world, is this. God bless me. God bless me and enlarge my territory. Bless me and enlarge my territory. And if you're reading that, if you're being honest, when you say, if you're to pray, God bless me, that sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? I mean, for me, you start talking about spiritual stuff, and you know, so many times, like the mantra of most of the world is me, 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 me. But then in our prayer lives, it's kind of like, well, we shouldn't pray for me because that's selfish. But here, Jabez is saying, bless me. And I have to say that I kind of walk into this text this morning with a little bit of a limp. You know those things in your life where you're carrying some baggage, where something happens to you and that shapes the way you are. Well, I was a student at Mercer University, and I was part of the Wesley Foundation. Awesome, awesome thing. If you have anybody getting ready to go off to college or in college, the Wesley Foundation is solid. That's our United Methodist campus ministry. Man, it was awesome. I showed up, and it was brand spanking new, and got to kind of see it develop and grow right in front of me. It was really, really cool. But anyway, we would invite these guest speakers every once in a while when we were a young ministry. We learned better because you get some fruits, nuts, and flakes when you do that sometimes, to be honest. And so we invited this guest speaker, and I didn't invite the guest speaker, but, you know, whatever. This guy showed up, and he was kind of one of those preachers that was like, just kind of twisting the way God blesses you and stuff. And so he was like talking about God blessing him in a very selfish way. And he said, if you don't think God has blessed me, ask me what kind of car I drive. I was like, and he was like wanting a response. Ask me what kind of car I drive. I'm like, okay, what kind of car do you drive? I'm like, I drive an Escalade. I'm like, okay, great. You know, and I'm just sitting there cringing. He said, all right, you don't think God has blessed me? Ask me what size rims I've got on my tires. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you serious? You know, all right, what size rims do you have on your Escalade? He said, I got 22-inch rims on my Escalade. God has blessed me. And I was just like, are you serious? Is that what the gospel is being reduced to? Is just financial blessing or just having stuff? Is that what Jesus teaches? I mean, so many times in the Bible, it seems to say the opposite. I mean, just because you have a lot of stuff doesn't mean that God has blessed you, and that if you're dirt poor, that God hasn't blessed you. In fact, so many times Jesus says, blessed are the poor. That Jesus goes to poor people, even sees this woman who is called the widow's mite. This woman who's a widow who gives just a little teeny tiny bit of an offering. And everybody might have laughed at it because it was like 2 cents worth. I mean, you may have said, "What is she? Look at her. She's only putting 2 cents in the plate." But Jesus says, no, no, no. She's giving more than all the other people are giving, because she's giving where it actually means something. She's giving a more percentage and out of her heart more than anybody else was. That Jesus talks about the being poor is not a curse. And this guy was kind of like slamming that. And I was just thinking, the prosperity gospel that God blesses you just financially is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what Jesus teaches. So I'm just sitting there cringing. And so I have to say, when we pray prayers like, God bless me, I come with a limp. And maybe you do too. Maybe you've experienced stuff like that before. Because, you know, so many times in the Bible, if you talk about the prosperity gospel, so many times in the Bible, the people who are the most blessed are sometimes thrown into prison for following Jesus. Even people in other countries, there's people that are following Jesus and having to do so underground, away from government and stuff like that. And they're the most blessed people, and many people end up being martyred for their faith, but yet they're blessed. And yet at the same time, there's so many people, some of the most dirt poor people that I've talked to have this amazing glow of Jesus coming out of them. And when I've been on mission trips before, it's awesome taking teams of people, especially from America, because we are such a blessed nation. But we go to these countries and we come back and we're there to bring them Jesus. And we find out that many of them already are believers, and they have so much joy. And we're like, but you don't even have a shoe to walk on this dirt road with. How are you so blessed and so happy? And I have everything. And it's one of those things that kind of turns us on our head that's not what happiness is. That's not all that Jesus offers us. And so the Bible teaches that God doesn't seem to care about how much money we have or how much possessions we have. He seems to care about what we do with the resources we have. How do we use the resources that we've been given? How do we use the gifts that we've been given? That's what God cares about. And so because of that encounter, I sometimes have trouble praying, God bless me. Maybe you're like that too, because we think it's selfish, but that's the type of prayer that Jabez prays, and God moves on account of it. We're invited to do that as well. Jabez isn't worried about being selfish when he prays, and I think that we need to maybe be a little bit more selfish when we pray too. And I mean this by saying we need to be praying for ourselves. Be praying for us. That seems kind of funny because we always think, pray for other people, pray for other people, pray for other people. But we're going to get to that. There's a reason we pray for ourselves. Jabez is praying. He's not worried about being selfish in his prayer because he knew that he needed God to be the best God, to do God's best in his life, that he trusted God, that if he asked, God would bless him. That's what we're talking about. Prayer changes things. If we're willing to ask, God will answer our prayers. If you remember back to the ancestors, now we've been, all this genealogy that's listed in 1 Chronicles, it's like you're falling asleep reading it, and it's all good stuff. It's like tracing the family of God. And one of the things that, one of the ancestors, Abraham, God promised Abraham in Genesis 12:2 is very similar to what Jabez is praying. God said this to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. He said, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And so Abraham was blessed by God to be a blessing to others. You see, there's a reason we're called to pray for ourselves. We're blessed to be a blessing. God wants to pour into your life, wants to extravagantly bless you with life and his hope and his purpose and his wholeness so that you can go, therefore, and offer that to the world. You're blessed to be a blessing. Everything that you have and everything that you are is a gift from God. And God wants you to use everything that you are to serve him and to be a blessing to others. That's what it's all about. And so when Jabez is praying for God to do that same thing in him, he's praying, God, bless me and enlarge my territory. Bless me and enlarge my territory. I mean, the whole point of Scripture is this, that God wants to come in and extravagantly pour into our lives with his love and with his grace and to bless us. God wants to bless us, but God also wants to turn that blessing back and to bless him and to worship him and to serve him, and then to turn what we've experienced in Jesus back to the world and to offer his blessing through us to the world. That's what God's plan is for you and for me. So when we pray for God to bless us, it's not necessarily that God will give you these big shiny rings or front row tickets at the Tennessee game, although that was awesome on Friday. I enjoyed that. Go Vols. Anyway, sorry I had to get that out there. But it's not that God's going to just give you all this stuff and that everything's going to work out perfectly. And if you follow Jesus, everything falls in alignment and all that. That's not what it means. But God wants to bless us by pouring into our lives and by offering us himself. And, you know, the greatest picture of God offering himself to us is really the cross, that God came to us while we were yet sinners and while we messed up all the time and while we tried to follow God at times, but then we fall off, and God came to us and made a way for us to, when we couldn't make our way to God, that God came down to us in Jesus, that God showed up and lived among the muck and mire of society. He lived among sinful people and he loved them to death. He loved them so much. And those same people ended up putting him on the cross. And it's because of that cross and what Jesus did for us. We talk about what Jesus has won for us. What this means, the cross is meaningful. What was broken in the fall is that our perfect relationship that we had in Eden, in Genesis 1 and 2, was broken. That we had that perfect relationship with God and with each other, and we were satisfied with who we are. And that was severed. But what Jesus came to win for us is that Jesus went to the cross, God himself standing there, arms stretched up, saying, I love you this much. Saying, I've come to restore this broken relationship with the Father. And I've come to help you to love your neighbor and to love your family and to love your wife and your husband in ways that you can't on your own. See that plane? God, us, and also to make us complete, to make us whole, to make us the people that God's created us to be. That's what God wants to do in you and me this morning. You know, I want to challenge you to pray for God to bless you, to pray for God to bless you beyond belief. In fact, to dig in and to pray deep for God to just keep blessing us. God, bless me so much. Pour into my life. And there's different ways you can do that. Sometimes you can mix it up. You don't just have to say, God, bless me. God, bless me. And then you get tired of praying. You can mix it up. How do you want God to bless you? You can say, God, I don't have a relationship with you. And I don't know what it means, but I want to have that. Help me to follow you. Help me to follow Jesus. Help me to follow you in new ways. Or maybe you pray for courage to take bigger steps in your faith. Or maybe you pray, God, bless me by helping me to grow in my walk with the Lord. Maybe connect me with other believers so that they can help me and show me the way and help me to become the person you've created me to be. God, bless me. God, heal me and forgive me of my sins. Take those broken pieces that feel like they've been kicked around everywhere like dust on the ground and pick them up. And somehow what I thought was just pieces scattered around, pick them up and unite them together and put me back together and make me whole. I want it more than anything. Bless me, God. Or maybe it's, God, I want you to set me free. There's things that have had a hold on me. And God, I know that there's nothing. You want nothing in this world to have a hold on me except for you. And maybe it's stuff that you've been going through. And maybe you're just under some kind of attack. God, bless me. God, bless me and heal me of that. Help me. Help me to just be completely in your control and nothing else. Pray for you. But the truth is that there's a lot of different ways to say, God bless me. I mean, if you're really honest, you know, the whole Southern way to say it is, God bless his heart. That's kind of the way you say it. You know, bless his heart. You know, that's it. You know, one of the ways to say it is like you feel bad for somebody. Bless his heart. Or bless me. God bless me. It's kind of like saying, you know, you don't have a clue. Bless your heart. You know, it's like that thing. There's a lot of different ways to pray for yourself. And maybe that's the way you pray for yourself. Or maybe that's the way a lot of the people around you that you're surrounded with pray that over you is, bless your heart. You poor thing, you don't have a clue. You know, maybe that's where you are. But Jabez was that type of man. Jabez was a bless his heart kind of man. In fact, his mother, when he was born, this is kind of like a mama joke. You know, this is like bad, you know. It's like a mama joke in the Bible here, in these two verses. That he was so much pain coming out that his mom called him pain. That's what Jabez means. He was a pain. And so can you imagine, like, your whole identity is wrapped up in the reality that, like, you walk up and you try to get a date and you're like, hey, my name is, I'm a pain. You know, it's like horrible identity and you just kind of live by that. But Jabez decided, even though he was a pain to everybody else, he continued, and he was a bless his heart kind of person, that he just continued to pray that God would really bless his heart, that God would bless his heart and his life and turn his life around so that his identity would be wrapped up not in his bless his heart mentality, but instead would be wrapped up in Jesus, who had really blessed his heart. You know, the truth is, and when you pray for God to bless you, sometimes God's going to do it in very obvious ways. Sometimes God blesses you in very obvious ways. I've experienced stuff like this before where maybe you get a promotion. Maybe you're praying and you've been working really, really hard. And all of a sudden, you get a promotion. It's like, wow, that's really obvious. Like, awesome. God bless me. I've been praying for that. God answered that prayer. Way to go, God. God is good. Or maybe you have some kind of new opportunity that opens up and you've been praying for this, or maybe you didn't even see it, but God opens up this huge opportunity. Or maybe like me and Mandy, maybe you have a baby, and that's a really obvious blessing that everybody, you know, in the church just kind of like, walks past you and goes to the little boy, you know. That's how it works, which is good, which is good. Sometimes God blesses us in very obvious ways. And one of those ways is maybe through a new relationship. Maybe God brings somebody in your path. You know this in the business world. That's why LinkedIn is around, you know, so you can meet people. And sometimes God connects you with people. When we were first starting this church, I would, like, go to Starbucks. And there was all these people that were, like, just working at Starbucks. And I was there, like, on high alert, you know. I was probably, like, one of those, like, settle down type Christians, you know, because I was like, I was wanting to meet people, you know, because I wanted to, like, you know, share with them about the vision of the church and all this stuff. I was like everywhere on high alert. So every time God would open up this incredible door and new relationship, it was like, wow, God, we've been praying for this. Thank you. I think there's so many people in this area. The number one thing that I've heard from people in this area, this is such a new area that people are looking for, is relationships. The number one thing that I hear over and over and over again is, I'm looking for community. I'm looking for friends. I'm looking to meet people. And I want you to know this. Refresh groups is one of the best ways to do that. And I don't mean just to plug and play here, but the reality is, I believe this with all my heart, is that small groups, refresh groups, are one of the best ways that you can meet people and meet them in a very genuine way, because that's part of what we're doing. Not only are you going to grow in your relationship with the Lord, but you're also going to grow alongside one another as you're in the Word together, as you're praying together, as you're sharing life together. Sometimes you share some coffee and you spill it on the floor and you have a great story to tell. You know, a lot of things like that. But there's a small group that I was a part of. I'm continually a part of small groups, and I'll be in one. I'm not going to lead one, but I'm going to be in one, because for me and Mandy, it's important for us. But one of the small groups I was a part of in Kentucky in seminary, 3 years ago, these people, we got so close together with them that they literally became like family. And so when there's anything that I need to be prayed for now, I mean, these people are all over the nation now. They're among the first people I call. When we found out we were getting this opportunity to plant a church and we couldn't tell anybody, I called them and I said, I need you to pray. These people are so incredibly close to, and they're the first people that you know, post on Facebook, like, hey, congratulations on Peyton, and want to know what's going on. It's because we it wasn't that we just talked and had small talk. Refresh groups are awesome because you get to grow in the Lord together, and you know people at a much deeper level than you'd ever know just without the Lord involved. And so if you've been looking for an opportunity to connect and to have relationships, this may be God opening a door for you. So I just want to encourage you there. And, you know, I know for me, it's important for me to be in a group and to grow. And God doesn't intend for us to grow, to do our Christian life on our own, because we'll get burned out. We'll get tired. Somebody will irk us the wrong way, and we have nobody to kind of support us. That your lows are lower and your highs are not as high, because, goodness, if you got people praying for you, we had a few situations last semester in refresh groups. We were praying for something, and God answered a prayer, and it wasn't like, yay, God answered a prayer. The whole group was like, yeah, you know, they were like so pumped, like almost like sharing in each person's joy as much as that person was. And when somebody's fallen down, you get to pray alongside of each other and encourage somebody and to keep pulling them on and say, we've got your back. So I want to encourage you to not miss out on that opportunity. There's a lot of different opportunities. Sometimes it's obvious when God opens up doors and blesses you. But sometimes the blessings aren't as obvious. Sometimes blessings just don't seem like a blessing at the time. When I first, when you take off for, you graduate from high school, that's one of the scariest things, because everybody asks you immediately, so what are you going to do with the rest of your life? I don't know. I haven't really thought about it too much. I just tried to pass grammar and everything in high school. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life. So, started applying for colleges, and I knew, like, I wanted to go to a big school. This is where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the University of Tennessee or something like that. And just for whatever reason, just doors kept closing and closing and closing. And I was like, what's up with this? Like, I wouldn't get into one school, or I got into the University of Tennessee, and then because I'm an out-of-state student, they could only give this much scholarship that wouldn't really allow me to go there. And so I was like, God, what is up with this? This is what I thought I was supposed to do, and this is like the way I was praying for you to bless me. And yet all the doors are closing. And so I show up in my chorus teacher's room and I say, all right, I don't really care where I go. Just tell me where I can, like, go and get a music scholarship. Literally, that's how, like, holy going my college decision was. And so I tried out at two schools, and whoever gave me the most money and the best deal, that's where I went. And I was transferring. And so I showed up at Mercer University down in Macon, Georgia, as a music student, coming from being a three-sport athlete who got injured to now a music student. and God had called me to go into ministry. So I was like, I can study anything I want to. I can get a scholarship in music. Cool, let's do it. So I show up at Mercer, and I'm almost transferred almost every year. But I realized every single year that God had me there for a reason, something that I didn't think was a blessing, that was just a closed door and a place that I didn't necessarily want to be at the time. God kept opening up ministry opportunities for me that I never would have gotten somewhere else. Sometimes blessings are blessings in disguise that don't seem like blessings at the time. You know, and I mean, sometimes, you know, maybe you pray for opportunities, you know, to be used or something like that, and it doesn't happen. Or maybe you get laid off and you come home and it's obviously not a blessing at all. How are you going to provide for your family with not having a job? And yet, even in the midst of that time, I've talked to so many people who went through that during the recession and stuff. And it's one of those things where God even was faithful, and God even blessed them even in those times, where God was faithful and God united their family together in maybe a closer way than they ever would have been had that not happened. That maybe you learn to live more simply, and then later you can become more generous because all of a sudden when you get a job, you're even more thankful for it, where it's no longer watching the clock, you're ready to work, and you're thankful that God provided that work, that job. Or maybe you showed up in this area because maybe your spouse came home and said, hey, we're getting transferred, and you show up in this area and it's a new area and maybe you didn't want to be here, or maybe you get shipped off somewhere else and it's a place that you don't want to go. You never wanted to go there. You wanted to be somewhere else. And somehow that door closes and this one opens and you see it as a curse and not a blessing, and you show up and God has something for you there that you never thought would happen. It was something that you didn't even know was there, and that God completely blesses you in a way that you wouldn't have experienced had that door not have closed. Sometimes blessings don't seem like blessings, but God is faithful, and God uses those to continue to pour into us and to give us not necessarily what we want all the time, but to give us what we need. Answering prayer doesn't always mean we get what we want. It means that God is going to use those things to help you to grow and to become the person he's created you to be. God blesses us in those kind of ways. And so, if you want to make a huge kingdom impact, the next step, the next part of the prayer is for God to enlarge my territory. Bless me, God. Bless me, absolutely. But enlarge my territory. And that seems kind of funny, doesn't it? Enlarge my territory. It's like, we're talking about land here. I mean, give me like 2 acres instead of one. Enlarge my territory. But it's really not about territory, and sometimes it is, but the word territory could also mean border. And I think in our context, can mean your sphere of influence. Enlarge my influence, O Lord. Enlarge my sphere of influence. All of us have a sphere of influence. People that we know in our circles of influence. And the prayer is, God bless me and increase or enlarge my sphere of influence, O Lord. Lord, enlarge my influence for you. That's the point. If the point is that God blesses us and we bless him so that we can bless others, then that's what it's about. So if you want God to make a big kingdom impact in you, I want you to know it's not dependent on your strength. This is why it's so important that we pray, God, bless me. That's why those are linked together. Bless me and enlarge my territory. It's not, God, enlarge my territory, enlarge my territory. That's so many times what we try to do. We go out and we want to serve the world and do all these things for Jesus. But the reality is we need Jesus in us to do anything for Jesus. And it's not about doing things for Jesus. It's about Jesus doing things through you. That's how it works. So many times we have this cowboy up mentality where we just boot camp Jesus it up and we say, I'm going to go out and do all this stuff for Jesus. And we burn out because we're doing it on an empty tank. We need Jesus in our life, blessing us, continuing to pour into us so that we can offer him to the world. Because what the world needs is not more of us. The world needs more of him. I love the prayer of John the Baptist. He says, more of you and less of me. Less of me and more of you. That, I think, should be something that we constantly say, God, bless me. And in my life, help it to be less of me and more of you. That when people see me, it's like when they look at the mirror in my life, that they see more of you. Because God, you're what people really need, and you're what I really need. Bless me and enlarge my territory. You know, when you pray for God to enlarge your territory, your sphere of influence for Jesus, be prepared for God to open doors. I mean, because if prayer changes things, if God's going to answer prayers, there's so many times I prayed, God, I'm here and I like in Starbucks. I'm here at Starbucks and I don't know what I'm doing, God. I'm like just typing on my computer. We don't have a church yet, and I'm here to meet people. God opened up a door to a relationship, and all of a sudden, there's this relationship that happens. There's one guy that I met just randomly that introduced me to like all these teachers at one school, and he said, "Here, let me introduce you to all these people." And I was like, "Whoa, God, you opened up this incredible door because I was praying." God's gonna open up doors if you pray for God to open up the door for you to influence people for Jesus. And when you pray for opportunities to be used, God's gonna give you the opportunities. Don't be surprised. In fact, you may think, you know, you may be scared to pray for those things, to pray for, that God would use you in a powerful way. Because what happens if God opens the door? You know, what happens if you actually have to do that? But it's not dependent on your strength. Sometimes your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. You know that? Sometimes your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. Those places in your life where people say, "Bless your heart. You poor thing, bless your heart. You're never going to be used, bless your heart." And God says, "Well, let me put my hand on you. And let me anoint you and bless you and help you to become something that you can't be in and of yourself. And let me turn you out as a sanctified person who's sanctified and made whole this broken place in your life, this bless your heart place, and sending you forth to bless the heart of so many people." Sometimes your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. So when God calls you out of something that you may see as a weakness, get excited, because that's an opportunity for God to demonstrate his power through you. It's an awesome thing to be used by God. And so God's gonna open up an opportunity. It may be that you're sitting at the ballpark at Sharon Springs or wherever, and you're watching your kids play, and you maybe have a fountain shirt, and somebody says, "So what's the fountain? What's that all about?" And you're like, "Hey, I'm in ballgame mode right here." God sometimes opens up doors in ways that you would never imagine. God says, "What?" They say, "Well, what's the fountain?" "Oh, it's a church, you know," and you know, tell them a little bit about it. Like, "Oh." And, you know, you tell them like, "Oh yeah, the fountain's great. It's changing my life. And the pastor's kind of weird, but the band's good." And, you know, you tell them all this stuff. And then they say, "Well, let me ask you this. Do you really believe all this Jesus stuff?" And it's one of those, all of a sudden there's an opportunity for you to share what Jesus means to you. And maybe you can say, "You know what? I showed up and I didn't really know if I believed all this stuff, but more and more and more, Jesus is showing me, God is showing me through people around me and through the scripture that he's real. He's had an impact on my life, and I think he might be able to have an impact on yours." That all of a sudden, God opens up a door, and you don't even have to be a preacher. In fact, if you're a preacher, you have a better opportunity to share the gospel, because if you're a preacher, everybody starts hiding a little bit. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, sometimes people think you got to go into ministry to have a big influence for Jesus. I think you guys can have a bigger influence than I'll ever have for Jesus, because you have these spheres of influence in places that you can go that I can't go. And all of a sudden you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and people say, "What is that that you've got?" I mean, a preacher, everybody expects for you to talk about Jesus. But when people say, "Why are you so happy? Like, why are you so joyful?" All of a sudden, man, there's God opening up a door. "Well, I found Jesus, and here's what Jesus means to me." And maybe he can do the same thing for you. So there's a lot of different ways, but pray for God to open up a door. And our job is to just show up and pay attention. It's fun to follow Jesus, y'all, when that happens. Just show up and pay attention for God to move. Another way that you can enlarge your territory is to pray for those in your sphere of influence. Pray for those in your sphere of influence. And I'm talking about everybody, your family, your friends. Pray for people like crazy. In fact, I think most people have 8 to 10 people within their spheres of influence that aren't connected with the church or aren't connected with a relationship with God. One of the best ways you can enlarge your territory is by praying for those in your sphere of influence, by praying for them to experience Jesus in a really real way. And in fact, one of the things that's really interesting is in Luke chapter 16, Jesus says something really interesting. I think it's talking about money, but I think it pertains to our sphere of influence. He says this: "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." See, if we want God to enlarge our territory, we have to be faithful to the spheres of influence we already have. Why would our territory or our sphere of influence be increased if we're not being faithful to the one that we already have? God wants to use you right where you are, for the people that you're around, to share with them the hope in Christ by the way you live. And sometimes when God opens the door, by even in word. So there's a lot of different ways to do that. One of the ways that you can influence people in your sphere of influence too is by inviting people to church. You can pray for people, pray for people, pray for people, but then you can invite them. It's real simple. It's kind of like Andrew's thing. He told his brother, hey, come and see. Come and see. And he brought his brother along. He didn't really do anything. All he did was this. Here you go. Here's Jesus. And Jesus did the rest. That's all it is. That's what we're asking people to do about inviting to church. It's not about our church. It's about the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. That's our mission as believers. That's what Jesus wants us all to do. So God wants to continually pour into our lives, and he wants us to be praying for people so that our spheres of influence might increase. But if you haven't noticed, we talk a lot at the Fountain about reaching out and reaching out and reaching out. Pouring into people and stuff like that. And we talk about a life change, seeing life changes in Jesus. And every single Sunday, I mean, I say it unapologetically, that's what we're all about. We're about life change at the Fountain because that's what Jesus is about. And life change doesn't have to be this huge, like Saul, Paul type conversion thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes somebody decides to follow Jesus. And that's a life change. But sometimes we have these little kids who bring bring a quarter to church. And it's like part of their whatever you call it, the money that they get from their parents. Allowance, thank you. So they get this allowance. They bring a quarter, and they put it in the offering plate. Y'all, that's a big deal. That's a life-change decision where they're deciding, you know what, part of this belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. That's a life-change decision. Or when somebody decides, I'm going to go serve God in a new way. That's a life change. So we celebrate that. Every single Sunday before church, we share, hey, what are the wins that you guys experienced last week? What are the wins that we saw? What are the life change things that we experienced? And it's not to say, you know, way to go, Fountain. It's not to pat ourselves on the back. It's to simply to say, God, this is not ordinary. And we want you to continue to pour into us and to use us in a powerful way. Continue to bless us. And we don't want to just kind of blow past us without saying, God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in and through us. One of the ways that we're doing that, one of the ways to enlarge our sphere of influence, this as a church, this coming up weekend is our big fall kickoff. And I just want you to pray hard for lives to be changed, for relationships to be touched. We're going to be handing out frisbees at Lambert High School football game. Pray that connections will be made. They're going to have the Fountain logo on them. But the most important thing, we want people to experience like that this is free and that if Jesus gives free things and it's about love, then maybe I want to experience that too. You know, and I talk all the time about worship. Our win is the person that sits in the back of the room. And sorry, I'm not calling you out if you're in the back of the room. But the person who crosses their arms and looks out in the crowd and says, you know what? I don't know if I believe all this. I don't know if I believe all this. But I was welcomed and it was interesting and I'm willing to come back. And that may not seem like much, but this is a church that's called to reach people far from God. We'll do whatever it takes to reach people far from God. In fact, when you walk in next Sunday, it's going to be a little crazy. Be ready. So I want you to invite some friends. But if you can, I'd love for you to come and help out, to be praying for people and praying that God will open up a door. And when you come, don't come to just do snow cones. Come and meet people. Oftentimes, it's me and Mike meeting all the people. You know, we're doing this not for us. We're doing it for them. So come and talk with people, but go and meet a whole lot of people because God wants us to have a big impact. As the band comes up and we sing this last song, the song is this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Bless the Lord. And as we sing this song, I want to invite you to stand as we sing that God would bless us, that we would bless the Lord and we would be a blessing to so many people in this community and that you would be a blessing in your sphere of influence. I know that you have what it takes because God says you have what it takes. So let me pray over you and then let's stand and sing and pray for God and plead for him to bless us and to enlarge our territory. God, we thank you so much that you want to use us somehow. God, even if we're the type of person where people look at us and say all the time, bless your heart. God, we just pray that you would pour into us. We pray that you would bless us, that you would pour into us and make us something that we can't be in and of ourselves. God, I pray that for each and every person here that we all have a sphere of influence. And I pray that we would all be faithful to praying hard for those in our sphere of influence. Pray for those in our sphere of influence, any needs that come up. Pray for people to experience Jesus and pray for open doors so that people might see Jesus in our spheres of influence. God, as we do that, if we're faithful with little, you promise us that you'll give us more. God, we pray that you would bless us and enlarge our territory, enlarge our sphere of influence as a church and as a people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.